Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
Could it possibly set up any better for the Kansas City Chiefs? The Chargers and their quarterback, Phillip Rivers Jr., throws a pick at the end of the game and loses to the Cowboys on Monday night. They're struggling. They're 2-3. And if the Chiefs win on Sunday at Arrowhead, the Kansas City Chiefs move to 6-1, which will have them at least tied for the best record in the National Football League. They have the second best scoring defense in the NFL, the Chiefs do. And so here come the Chargers. Win this game, the Chargers go to 2-4. They are widely regarded as the most serious threat to the division against the Chiefs. And to be honest, if we want to flip the tables, if the Chargers do come in and pull off the upset against Kansas City, it does change the look of the division pretty dramatically and probably would open up an awful lot of questions about the Chiefs. That's because the Chiefs have been so dominant in this division against all these opponents. Sometimes it's been fairly easy to beat these teams. Other times it's been let them beat themselves. Herbert will throw a pick. In the past, Carr would throw a pick. Any Denver quarterback they've trotted out the last decade or so would throw a pick or make a mistake at the end of the game. It's never set up better for this kind of football for the Chiefs. This is the first time Patrick Mahomes has had a really rock-solid defense, and it looks legit. We should have enough of a sample size right now to say, look, it looks like the Chiefs will at least maybe have like a top 10 defense in the NFL. Right now, again, number 2 in scoring defense, which is awesome. If you have that and you have Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be hard to beat. That's what the Chargers are up against Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium, and they've got to be reeling after their disappointing loss on Monday night to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk about that with Stan Weber. Also, the surging Missouri Tigers, how far can they go? Stan has his insight. He thinks they could win 10 games this year. They look that good. He'll break that down for us. We'll go over the quarterback spot at K-State, Will Howard and Avery Johnson, and what's going on with Jalen Daniels, and what does it mean for KU? Stan Weber will be here in just a couple of moments with your football feast to get you ready for a week of big football. It is all brought to you by North Kansas City Dental. Dr. Bill Bush could be your new dentist. He's an award-winning dentist and speaker. He travels all around the country and talks about the great high-tech dentistry that he uses at North Kansas City Dental. He's the team dentist to Chiefs players and staff. He's pretty good friends with one of the coordinators that's having a really good season here this year. I'll just say that. And you can have your regular dental care done at North Kansas City Dental as well. They also do cosmetic dentistry, crowns, veneers. You put a veneer on for me. TMJ, teeth whitening, it's all there. 816-471-2911, online at nkcdental.com. MyPillow.com, you've heard a lot about Mike Lindell being shut out. I got an email from a listener who went on and ordered a couple of MyPillows, and I think it was Chase maybe or Capital One, one of his credit card companies, refused the purchase at MyPillow. And he's like, wait a second, this doesn't sound right. And he tried his card elsewhere, and it worked. He thinks some of the credit card companies now are refusing purchases at MyPillow.com as retribution to Mike Lindell and his great conservative American company. These are unbelievable American-made products. They're at a very low price, and Mike Lindell is a great Christian conservative. And everybody now on the left is out to get him. He needs your support. American Express cut off his credit, and it sounds like some outfits aren't letting you charge your products there. If that's happening to you, if you go to MyPillow.com and try to buy something and it gets declined, let me know. I want to know more about this. The promo code is KKHI. It is the top promo code you can use. You'll save the most money possible. Buy somebody a pair of slippers for Christmas and hang on to them for a couple of months. They could use the help, seriously, at MyPillow.com. He is under siege. His company is under siege. MyPillow.com/KKHI. He's got a site-wide sale right now. Lowest prices ever on everything at MyPillow.com. Your promo code is KKHI. Amazing Garage Floors is online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. October, November, great time to seal your driveway. Amazing Garage Floors can do that for you. It's the perfect time of year to do it because here comes the ice, the salt, and the sand in a couple of months. Call John over at 913-901-7139. And have him out. This is pennies on the dollar. This is not expensive to get your driveway sealed, and it makes a huge difference on the longevity of your concrete. While he's there, he'd be happy to work up a bid on what it might cost to do an epoxy floor in your garage. It will literally change the way you use your space in your garage. AmazingGarageFloors.net, 913-901-7139. Hey, it's time for the football feast. Oh, we got a lot of good things going on with a lot of teams this week. And Stan Weber is here to preview it all for us on KKHI. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, or online at joslynsjewelry.com.
We say hello to Stan now, and we got a lot of football coming up this weekend, and it is just sitting there, Stan, on a silver platter for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's pretty simple. Beat the Chargers this week, and this division is probably over 7 games in. How amazing is this?
Pretty amazing. As an NFL fan, I hate those words that you just said because I value so much the competition all the way to the 17th game of the year. That's what the NFL's been all about. Winning a division is a big deal, guaranteeing you a home game and all those things. But, Kevin, I cannot disagree. The Broncos, done. The Raiders, fighting, but still only 3-3. Really not a threat to catch the Kansas City Chiefs this year. And the Chargers are the only one, and they've got a losing record right now. They got a punch in the gut, and they're playing a Monday night game, getting ready to play Sunday on the road, which is always a hard transition. While the Chiefs get a rest from Thursday all the way to Sunday, play at home, and really, you win this game, you just knock the Chargers back one more slot, and you almost guarantee there's no way they can catch you by record. Tiebreakers won't matter. And although, oh, by the way, you'll have the tiebreaker started on them. The best they could do is split with you if they could beat you in L.A. So it is amazing that I agree with you. I think Chiefs win this week, and we can start anointing them as division champions once again.
Justin Herbert has been sold to everyone in this league as a superstar that clearly is going to win Super Bowls and do all these other things. I'm not sure he's even Philip Rivers. I could be wrong. All I do is watch the guy lose games consistently. And look, I know the Dallas Cowboys defense Monday night was terrific. They've got a great defense. But come on, man. He just missed wide open receivers. Then with the game on the line, throws an interception. I'm not even sure he's as good as Philip Rivers. Look, there's so many quarterbacks, Dan, I put in one basket. These are my basket of deplorables, okay? This is like Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, Dak, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. They're all promoted as superstars in this league. They never win anything. I don't get it.
Yes, and your categorization is very fine, Kevin. I just kind of chuckle for a second going, what do most kids dream of doing? It doesn't matter if we're coordinated, 5'2" or 6'8". Don't all of us kind of dream we'd like to be an NFL quarterback, a starting quarterback in the NFL? How amazing it is that everyone wants to do it, and there's only 32 starters at a given point in time. And these guys are upper half quarterbacks, and like you're just wiping them off and saying, not good enough. I agree with you. There's a whole other categorization up there that deserves the credit, but I just kind of chuckle. If your kid was supposedly disappointed at their only Justin Herbert, you would laugh and go, what?
Sure.
What's going on? No. He's good. He's good. He's athletic.
Is. And he's a legitimate NFL starting quarterback. I get that. I guess where I'm coming from is, look, like Bobby Witt Jr. of the Royals is one of the best players in baseball, and he wasn't in the All-Star game. He doesn't have any commercials. Nobody knows who he is. But, all right, he's Justin Herbert. He's a really good player on a team that doesn't win anything and isn't particularly relevant. I don't know why they keep selling me Herbert. They did this with Baker Mayfield, Stan. We got 3 years of television commercials of Baker Mayfield, and now you don't see him anywhere. But he's actually winning games now and maybe even playing better. You know, sometimes it's the team and different things like that. I guess what I'm sick of having people shove Lamar Jackson down my throat. Like, incredibly, someday he's going to be a guy that doesn't puke games away in the fourth quarter, which is exactly what he does. I'm so tired of the NFL promotion machine and commercials and hype on these players that have never won anything.
Yeah, it's well said. And they do get their time where it gets, hey, they get hot with one company and then they get another advertising opportunity. And Herbert is a guy who tries. He's a guy you could root for as a human being, I think. But you're right. He's not at the same level of finding a way to win. And that's been a Chargers problem. Now, one thing we got to give him the benefit of the doubt on for just a quick second, if you want to bust down the Chargers, is Brandon Staley's his head coach. You know, what happens if Andy Reid were his head coach? Focus him and get him to another level. But with Brandon Staley as a poor coach and a defensive guy, Herbert's kind of doing it himself. But you're right.
And I've heard
he
that.
Has more interceptions. He has 13 interceptions in the fourth quarter of one score games, Kevin, since he's become a starting quarterback in the NFL, 5 more than anyone else. So what you're saying is exactly true. When the Dallas Cowboys played on Monday night against the Chargers, I told all my friends who wanted to talk about it, no one's going to win this game. One team's going to lose.
That's exactly right,
and that's how these two teams play. I know them so well. And if you're saying, well, were you optimistic that the Cowboys are going to win? You're hoping the Cowboys beat the Chargers and you're hoping the Chargers lose for the Chiefs. Aren't you all in? I'm like, yeah. Do you think we're going to win? Yeah, generally I do think we're going to win. But because they're going to be more likely to lose it than we are. That's the only reason. And sure enough, you just watched mistake after mistake. Your guy, Mike McCarthy, that you called out 7 years ago, I didn't realize it until he became the Dallas Cowboys coach. I go, oh my gosh, he couldn't mismanage this stuff any worse. The mistakes they make are unbelievably dumb. But guess what? They won the game because the Chargers know how to lose even better.
Yeah.
And that's Justin Herbert is part of it. He missed two wide open guys. It could have been walk-in touchdown.
Totally different game if he just hits the guys that are open. And look, I don't think anything of Brandon Staley either. I'm not defending Brandon Staley, but they didn't lose that game last night because of Brandon Staley. They lost it because of Philip Rivers Jr. was playing quarterback for the Chargers, and he just overthrew wide open guys standing in a clean pocket. Look, the Cowboys pass rush was good. We saw all that. There were times that he didn't have any time, but the times that he had time and stood in a clean pocket and had Keenan Allen wide open 40 yards downfield and he heats it over his head, you can't even explain that. That's the kind of stuff you do in college or minor leagues or high school. You don't do that if you're doing Subway commercials. You make that throw and you score that touchdown, and I'm astounded with the things. The other passes he misses, he throws these outs and stuff. He throws what I call heaters. They're always high. They're always too hard, and nobody can catch him. I'm like, he's just throwing passes that, is he throwing it away? What is he doing? How many passes did he miss high last night?
Yeah, and then some of them in the dirt. Like you said, he's just firing the ball. The best example, Kevin, I'll go to a question that you asked, and it's been asked around the nation now, is Brock Purdy the MVP of the league this year? Well, it was fun that you asked that very early, but look at the difference of how Brock Purdy's ball comes in.
Right.
You know, it looks like he makes it so catchable that you or I could catch it in the backyard. And he delivers it on time, right at the numbers, and it goes up, and it comes down, and it has enough velocity to not get intercepted. I don't know. I mean, I talk all the time about this, Kevin. So people who are used to listening to me know that I talk about the danger factor. Like, what happens if someone plays their really best game that's within their being, but they rarely do it on average? The Chargers are that team that have the danger factor, because if Herbert would have thrown two passes better last night, they cleared the Cowboys by two touchdowns.
Yep.
Okay? And he can throw the ball 50 yards on a line if he sees someone open and stick it between two people. So if he plays out of his mind, then guess what? They could be dangerous to the Chiefs this Sunday. But you think about those mistakes. Remember last year the Chargers were right in the game in Arrowhead? Kevin, I was out there, Amazon Prime's first ever Thursday night football game was at Arrowhead, game two of the season. Remember that?
Yep.
Chargers were right there until he threw what? A pick six when they were inside the 5-yard line of the Chiefs and turned the game upside down. So on average, Herbert will make the mistakes. The team is undisciplined. Bosa is such a disappointment. He is supposed to be a superstar, and he walks to the sideline mid-drive in the fourth quarter all the time like he's tired. It has to be demoralizing to the rest of the players. Eckler, he's a little dangerous, but he looks like he's beat up trying to get back. The Chargers get injured. The coach makes dumb decisions. I mean, if the Chargers put it all together, they could beat the Chiefs,
I agree.
Even in Arrowhead.
Sure.
But the likelihood of that, I mean, you're going to be shaking your head if you watch that game on Sunday and the Chiefs lose. Because I'm telling you, you play 10 times and the Chiefs cover them 8 of the 10 because they're better and the Chargers will usually lose the game. So they're dangerous. They're up there with as dangerous a team as there is in the NFL. They also, a division game, know the Chiefs. So I'm not trying to blow off Sunday's game because you said it well. If the Chiefs win, then they're going to be the division champs. But they got to get to work on Sunday and do it. And crazily, the Chargers are dangerous, but boy, they are not going to beat the Chiefs in the division this year.
It's no more to lock, and I'm going to give Herbert a couple of big plays in the game, and Spagnuolo does this as a defensive coordinator. He takes a lot of chances, but here's what he knows. He knows that over 60 minutes, there's going to be enough pressure snaps, enough third and sixes, maybe third and 13s, enough red zone passes where he's trying to squeeze one in and score a touchdown instead of a field goal. Spagnuolo knows that if he just keeps bringing the heat, disguising what he's doing, and taking chances, you may give up a touchdown somewhere, but at some point, you're picking one off. You may run it back. You're going to have good field position. Something is going to flip the game because you're going to do something to him. And I think it's just kind of a law of averages now at this point with Justin Herbert. And you see the skill set. It's got to be really frustrating for Charger fans that he's no better than he is. It's a good football team. I'm not saying they can't beat the Chiefs. Chiefs can't just show up and win this game. This is a real opponent. It's a good team. It may or may not be a playoff team. I don't think they are. If they lose this game, they go to 2-4. They got to play the Chiefs again. I don't know. Maybe there's enough wins in the division for them. They'll be okay. But, man, what I want to ask you is about the Chiefs defense, because this is what really excites me about this team. Scoring is down this year in the NFL, everywhere except Miami. The Chiefs offense has backed off a little bit. It looks like defenses have gotten better. Maybe it's a personnel issue. Maybe there's just better defensive players right now than offensive players. I don't know. But nowhere is that more obvious than Kansas City, where the Chiefs have the number two scoring defense. What I want to ask you is the teams you know best, the Kansas City Chiefs and Dallas Cowboys, it has been like the Grand Canyon between their defenses the last few years. How close have the Chiefs narrowed the gap to being almost as good as Dallas's defense?
They've completely narrowed the gap and stuck their nose ahead right now. They're better than the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Are you
right
serious?
Now. Yes. Think about Diggs. Diggs is injured. He's a turnover machine for the Cowboys. Stephon Diggs' brother is a cornerback for the Cowboys that blew out his knee in practice 2 weeks ago.
Right.
He had one cornerback position. Gilmore had the other. He had the big interception at the end of the game. Those two guys are lockdown corners. Micah Parsons is as good a defensive player as there is in the NFL. But the Cowboys' linebacking core is below average. Mm. The rest of the defensive line is NFL average. The safeties are average. So they have an unbelievable coordinator as well. And so he is calling the game so perfectly, putting Micah Parsons in winning situations. Oh, I need to mention Dorrance Armstrong, the Kansas player who's been there a long time. Mm-hmm. He's the real deal, Kevin. He makes plays.
Yep.
He is a disruptor. And the Cowboys bring the heat, a lot like Steve Spagnuolo in Kansas City. He has a confidence that we're not just going to sit back and have better athletes and better fundamentals. We're going to put you in positions to make plays and attack. And the Chiefs and the Cowboys have done that. But if you start looking at the coordinators, I would say they're even, both elite, okay? Then you go to the next level. No one's as good as Micah Parsons, okay? And he plays a position that blows the game up more than, say, a defensive tackle like Chris Jones. So Chris Jones is not Micah Parsons. I'd pick Micah Parsons first if we drafted defensive players for the Chiefs. But after that, when you start going down the list of who you would pick next, I would pick Legarius Sneed as my next player in that group of Cowboys or Chiefs. And then you start working down the line, and the linebacking core for the Chiefs is gone from being a weaker part of the team to a total strength.
It's changed everything. It's totally changed. It's changed the whole defense. I mean, really, because they can do anything. They can drop back. We see Bolton pick a pass off. Next thing you know, somebody's coming in, sacking the quarterback. They stop the run. The linebacking core is ridiculous, and it's deep. You know, it's not just one or two guys. It's deep. There's a bunch of guys that can play.
And Trent McDuffie is a big-time player. The thing that the Chiefs have that the Cowboys don't, in addition, is that when they bring exotic blitzes and do things, they got guys who tackle like safeties, rush like linemen, but are secondary players. I saw this immediately when I started watching the tape, not saying before the Chiefs drafted him. Okay, I don't waste my time telling you who needs to be drafted because it's too much of a I don't have the time to do it. I wait until after the Chiefs draft guys, and I go, okay, let me look. And immediately I said, Trent McDuffie feels comfortable around the line of scrimmage in the backfield. He's like a magnet. If he blitzes, he gets to the quarterback. He's still not as good at it as Legarius Sneed is coming off the edge. So those guys can – play man-to-man down the field, play with physicality, blitz at any time off the edge, and sack a quarterback. I think Justin Reed, I love this guy. He's humble. He plays back there at the safety position, doesn't make any mistakes, Kevin. He admits last year that he didn't really understand what Steve Spagnuolo was really trying to teach him until late in the year. He's humble, even though he's a free agent. He is rock solid back there. Cook's getting better. The linebackers are good. I mean, the Chiefs defense is better than the Cowboys defense. They just don't have the splash of Micah Parsons.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how good they are. Stan, everybody around the country is asking, is anybody any good in the NFL this year? Are there any great teams? And my response to that is, because they're looking at the Chiefs going, well, Mahomes' quarterback rating is down. He doesn't have receivers, and their scoring's off a little bit. And I cannot scream this from the mountaintop loud enough. How could the Kansas City Chiefs have a top five defense and Patrick Mahomes – and nobody would consider that a great team? Who is going to beat the Chiefs if they have an elite defense? It's not going to happen.
Well, it's well said, because when we looked at Bill Belichick, we gave him the utmost respect as the coach. And Kevin, you've been saying it for 25 years that I've been doing broadcasts with you. Coach and quarterback, coach and quarterback. Well, everyone's on board with that now. They really understand coach and quarterback. So we give all the love to Bill Belichick. And then we said we had Tom Brady, right? But go back and look at the Super Bowl champion teams that New England had. They played all different styles, but many of them, Kevin, were Tom Brady just working with the guys he was given. No name receivers at times. He didn't always have Randy Moss. He had guys who were free agents who were walk-ons at Texas Tech, like Wes Welker. You know, he just made those guys as good as they can be. Who were the running backs for New England all those years? Right. You don't remember their names.
No, right.
They just worked it on offense the best they could,
yep.
Let the defense play the lead card, out-coach people, out-special teams people, and then if the game was on the line, Tom Brady would cut your heart out, just like Patrick Mahomes can do. And he didn't. He had Gronk. We have Kelsey. It's a lot of the same things, Kevin.
It's eerie.
No one put detriments on New England. At least if you're a Kansas City fan, you didn't go to New England and go, well, they're fakes. They're not very good. No, you were scared to death. Like, man, their defense is good. Their special teams are great. Their coach is awesome. And Tom Brady will find a way. We've just morphed into that kind of New England type of team. And the season isn't over yet, Kevin. I mean, isn't it great that the weakness or the thing that we're waiting to pop is the part of the football that's studied every day by Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, right. And Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? That's what we got to count on? I hope those guys come through under pressure.
Right.
You know, the rest of the team and the kickers, they deserve a ton of credit, Kevin. Tommy Townsend rarely gets to boot the ball because the Chiefs usually make it at least to the 50-yard line, right?
Yeah.
He's always kind of pooching the ball, which he does well. But when they had some troubles against Denver in the Thursday night game, Thursday night games are always lethargic, fans. You got to understand. Watch Thursday night football. It's a dud. I'm disappointed. Teams are they're not rested well enough. They're not prepared. Something's not right. And the Chiefs look more normal on Thursday night than most teams do, but they got backed up kick situations. They never do. Guess what Tommy Townsend does? Sends that thing a mile high and about 70 yards, Kevin.
Yeah, they do a lot of
turns
things
the field upside down.
And then
Harrison Butker.
Butker's a freak.
Oh, wait, darn it, man. Denver's in the game still, Kevin. I guess we got to kick a 60-yarder in a strong wind.
Into the net.
Crosswind.
Into
hard
the net.
Wind. Boom. I mean, the special teams are so good, especially when you look at the kickers.
Yeah.
And the defense now is rock solid.
It's crazy. I don't know how you beat them.
The offense, hey, we can split the hairs. I can talk about the offense all day long about what's wrong with it and what isn't up to normal standards.
Man,
this is a pretty good situation to be in.
Then let me ask you this. Marquise Brown apparently is available in Arizona, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma. He's been in the league, I think, about 4 years. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this year, but he's a deep ball threat. He's got, you know, Joshua Dobbs out there, no quarterback at all. He's got 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, but he's got speed. He's a deep threat. A lot of people think the Chiefs could pick him up for a third-round pick, but he could be a free agent. Is this one of those things where if they're going to make a trade, they should agree to a contract before they trade for him? Where do you stand on Hollywood Brown, and how would he fit in with the Chiefs?
I wouldn't waste much capital. The Chiefs are pretty good about sorting this out and, you know, giving a seventh-round pick or letting him be a free agent and picking them up, those kind of things. It's not a must. They've got the juice to get some things done. His name is Kadarius Toney. You know, what they need is for Toney. He's not going to play great as a player all season long, Kevin, and neither is Hollywood Brown. He's not going to – there's no Tyreek Hills out there, okay? So we just need to get someone to get something done at the end of the year, into the playoffs. And last year, Toney ramped his game up just at the right time, and you can kind of hope that again. Hollywood Brown's kind of a smaller guy. He has some speed, but it isn't just running straight down the field that opens things up for the Chiefs. It's understanding the concepts. It might be a check right at the last second. It might be Patrick Mahomes touching his elbow, telling a guy to go deep when a certain situation pops once in the game. And a new guy may not catch on to that. You know, he may miss that he touched his elbow and you don't have the throw. I'm not big on saying they've got to do something right now. It's okay to pick up somebody up for not much capital, but it's not a must. The Chiefs will be fine. The receivers aren't great, but there aren't great receivers out there to go get in short term. Mecole Hardman might be your best choice, Kevin. Mm. I'd rather see him because he knows the Chiefs system back and forth. And he had a black cloud put over him psychologically. I'm not saying anybody did anything wrong, Kevin. He was drafted high enough to have the expectations, but he followed Tyreek Hill. How would you like to be the guy following Tyreek Hill and saying, oh, you're our new speed guy? There's no chance. Tyreek Hill is a great receiver, Kevin. He's a great running back. He attacks the ball, and he can run all day like the greatest soccer players in the world. He can sprint all day. You know what? Mecole Hardman doesn't look so bad now compared to what the Chiefs have. How would you like to see him run a jet sweep? He turns a corner, man, when the Chiefs do that. So if Hardman becomes available because the Jets give up on him or let him go for a little, I'd rather see him than Hollywood Brown, right, Chiefs, just because of the knowledge factor.
Well, that would certainly save him a pick and a whole bunch of money if they did
and
something
we would
that.
Love him. We'd hug him. Yeah. I think he would respond to the hug because I think he looks out of the corner of his eye like we don't like him. And if he came back, I think everyone would say, welcome home, buddy. And I think he'd be a whole different player.
They don't do it very often. They don't bring guys back very often, so that'd be pretty interesting to see. All right, one other NFL note. We'll move on to college. Dolphins at Eagles this week. Go ahead. Help me out here. Break this down. The Eagles obviously are a Super Bowl threat. They were there last year, but they were punchless against the Browns this week. And I'm just curious as to – or I'm sorry, the Jets this week. I'm curious as to what you think is going to happen when Miami visits Philadelphia.
Well, I think Miami is as dangerous as they come, and they're a front-running team. So when Tua gets hot, he just doesn't let up. They've got way more weapons than just Tyreek Hill. The head coach is making great play calls. So sometimes when you think about football coaches, Kevin, they sequence very well. This is an old tradition thing that happened, you know, when you think about Amari Schottenheimer or even before him in the day. If we can establish the middle run, Kevin, then the linebackers and safeties have got to be worried about that. Then we run the play action pass to the tight end. And then when he starts squeezing that, we throw the ball over the top for a post pattern, and suddenly you got Vince Lombardi's Green Bay Packers. Do you realize, here's a little side note for fans, do you realize Vince Lombardi's Packers killed teams by passing the ball more than running the ball with Bart Starr? But they did it in sequence. He made you think it was all about a seal here and a seal here and the big Green Bay sweep. The fact is they cut your heart out with throwing the football. But it all started from one to the next to the next. That's the Miami Dolphins, okay? They're the modern version of that, Kevin. When something works, then they will sequence their way all the way through the game and be one step ahead of you all game, okay? But when it doesn't work, it's hard for them to get step number two. So when you ask this question, Kevin, the thing you've got to imprint in your mind is, do you believe the Eagles' defense can throw them off and not let them get their first sequencing done? The Buffalo Bills did. Remember that game? Buffalo just shut Miami down after one drive or two drives and then said, you don't have point A, and they couldn't even think about how to get to point B, C, or D. Their offense was nothing like it has been. So the question I have in my mind is, will they get on a little bit of a roll and cause Philadelphia a lot of havoc? And the second question you have to ask yourself is, are they good enough on defense to handle what Philadelphia brings? Right now, Philadelphia is not hitting on all cylinders, Kevin. Right now, Jalen Hurts looks like the Jalen Hurts we thought he was coming out of Oklahoma. An unbelievable great kid, total focus, doesn't listen to the outside noise at all, will fight and claw and do everything he can do to win. He is tough. He's a good passer. But right now, he looks like a seventh grade quarterback trying to do everything for Philadelphia, scrambling around, running. If you had a meter on him, the number of miles he's running in the game before he throws, the quarterback sneaks, the running on third down, it's pretty incredible. Philadelphia is not the same team as they were at the end of last year. I think, Kevin, I'm going to give a slight edge to Miami because when you look at this, I think Philadelphia is trying to find themselves. They got a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. Mm-hmm. And they are going to fight and claw, and they want to get in a boxing match. And I think Miami does not get national acclaim. Think about this, Kevin. Every game, especially with the NFL Sunday ticket, this stuff about being on national TV shouldn't be that big a deal for an NFL player. But I don't think that's necessarily true when you talk about a team like Miami. Who's really seen Miami play much this year? When they played the Buffalo Bills, they were one of the eight games going on at noon Central Time. Okay? I think they are going to respond to prime time. Sunday night football, Miami Dolphins. You don't think that that's going to bring an extra focus from them? They want to introduce their high-flying offense. And at this point in the season, I think they'll probably be successful. So I would expect Miami to get it done against Philadelphia this week.
All right, let's move on to college football. Stan Weber with us, brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. TJ Vilkanskas and his team can build your dream home for you anywhere in the Kansas City area or west, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. One call to TJ and you can sit down, have a consultation and talk about what it is that you'd like to do with your business or your home. Custom building, 785-236-0161, online, back9development.com. Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing and now Buck Disposal. Tired of dealing with those call centers in Chicago or somewhere else, dealing with a big corporation for all your disposal needs? If you're a remodeler or a business owner that uses giant bins on the job site, Ron Buck is ready to serve you in a way that you've never been served before. Log on to buckdisposal.com. And our friends at Cross Kitchen KC. Right now, my guy Tim Cross is offering up free granite countertops. If you give him a call, this is for a limited time. You got to get in on it while he fills his calendar this fall. 816-898-7047. Kansas City's remodeler offering free countertops, granite, right now. CrossKitchensKC.com. Stan, everything I asked of Missouri and doubted about the Missouri Tigers, from one week to the next, they turned around and they executed everything I needed to see. They were better in special teams. They played great defense when they needed to. They pounded Kentucky in the fourth quarter. They overcame a 14-0 deficit. Did Missouri answer every single question against Kentucky? And how much confidence do they have right now? I mean, they just got to be flying high. They got South Carolina and Tennessee coming up. Mizzou's just got to be feeling great about themselves. This team really looked good last week.
Absolutely, they got to feel good about themselves because sometimes matchups and certain rivalries play out the same over and over again, and we really can't understand it. It's not that intimidating to play at one place or the other. You find where the quarterbacks changed, the teams changed. How can it matter? But Kentucky seems to have a way of getting over the hump and beating the Missouri Tigers. And this Kentucky team was thought to be very good. Now, what were they good at? Well, Mark Stoops has taught them toughness. They have a resolve and a good backing that people believe in their football team. But, Kevin, they played the easiest schedule in the country before they played Georgia. People didn't look at that. They had really not proven anything, but they thought they were good. And you know I believe when you get momentum and people think they're good, they advance themselves in football. So it's nothing against Kentucky, but they got busted in the mouth by Georgia. And now they come back. So here we go. How good is Kentucky? Don't know. They get ahead 14-0, Kevin. Now, you know the story. I know Missouri fans are sitting there going, we always throw a dud out or something crazy happens against Kentucky. Kentucky gets the running the football, gets a 14-0 lead. They're slowing down Missouri's offense. It couldn't have gone better for Mark Stoops. This is how you write a win at home over a very good Missouri team. And Missouri fakes a punt, never looks back, and by the fourth quarter completely separates. The fact that they came from 14 points down on the road at Kentucky at night, Kevin, answered a lot of questions. They're a very solid football team. You got to love what Brady Cook brings to the team. If you're a fellow teammate, if you're a coach, you love this type of player. He's an Alex Smith, okay? And that's before he turned it on. He was a winner who fought and clawed and did whatever it took. But now he's turned into a good passer. They actually have a good receiving core. You cannot get past saying Luther Burden because he deserves all the credit, Kevin. He's probably
Weiss and Johnson
the best
are freaks
wide receiver
too
in the country.
Dude, they might have the best receiving core in the country. Those other two guys are studs too. And you know, I've gotten to the point they're playing South Carolina this week. I just expect them to win now. I think they're really good.
Yeah, and I think like I said, I don't want to discount Luther Burden because he may be the best receiver in all of college football, but Kevin, you're only as good as your weakest link. And the guys that they have three other receivers who are big time. Theo Weiss deserves tons of credit. He was recruited like Luther Burden, you know, kind of a five-star recruit guy, transferred from Oklahoma. He's getting it done. So I agree with you. Then Cody Schrader is running the ball well. He's leaned up. He's tougher. I thought the offensive line has done a good job run blocking this year. And the defense is pretty solid. They're not dominant, Kevin, but they don't have any real weaknesses. Everybody's kind of solid. The cornerbacks can guard. The safeties can make some plays. They work as a group to be a decent defense. They're not going to dominate anybody, but they'll keep you in the game. So this offense is lethal. But when they were stuck in the mud, Kentucky led 14-0, then the questions start building up, Kevin, because you could make a case that they caught all kinds of momentum when they beat K-State. That's absolutely true. They changed themselves into a whole nother unit, and they believed in Brady Cook. Congratulations, and then they went on. And then they did some nice things. But a loss against LSU, no matter how it happens, you and I can look at it pretty objectively and go, that was a good performance. LSU had to win that game. It took a Heisman Trophy-like quarterback play by Daniels to win the game, but it's not that easy if you're in the program and then you lose to Kentucky. And then suddenly, Kevin, South Carolina is pretty much your equal. And then why wouldn't Tennessee and Florida be your equal? And you could start losing games and going down the line and take a very good football team and turn them into a 7-5 team, snap of the fingers. But with this win, now you're going, why aren't they better than South Carolina? They're at home, and we talk about matchups. For some reason, South Carolina always loses and plays poorly against Missouri. Not only do I know that by kind of watching the things that I do, Kevin, my son Stanton for the last 2 years was on South Carolina's coaching staff. And I watched the game super intently going, this is going to be an even game. And after the game's over, I just shook my head and go, who stole South Carolina's uniforms? I mean, they play awful. Rattler looks, you know, like, what's going on? They kind of just give the game to Mizzou. You can't go into the game thinking that way. But I told you, these things do repeat themselves often. Missouri's definitely the favorite. South Carolina's reeling after losing to Florida in a game that they needed to win at home. They didn't. They gave up the game right at the end. Think about Mertz, the guy who played at Miege here in Kansas City and then Blue Valley North. He's a starting quarterback after transferring from Wisconsin to Florida. He lit it up and beat South Carolina. So South Carolina's kind of dragging themselves emotionally in here. You're right, Kevin. This is a game. There's some pressure on Mizzou. You need to win it. You can't create that Kentucky win needs to be supported. Like when we play horse, Kevin, I haven't played horse with you ever, but I know you'd be a good little shot out there.
Oh, yeah.
But if you happen to make that shot or I make that shot on E, what do we have to do? Prove it. Don't you do that, Kevin? Pig or horse?
We call it validated.
You call it validated. Man, you guys are so intellectual.
Well, you know,
I grew up in Wichita. Man.
I was in the journalism school, not the business school. They taught us big words.
How about
over there.
That? Validated. I've never heard that. Whoa. That is so cool. Can you take me to the country club, Kevin? For those of you who don't hang out with the country club, we called it prove it. Okay? So they have, when they won the game of horse, it appears, by beating Kentucky. But now you got to prove it. Beat South Carolina as a favorite. Don't let any slippage in this game, Kevin. That's big. Because then you can start shaking your head with positiveness and really objectivity and go, why aren't we a 10-win football team? And you put together anything close to 10 wins in college football, Kevin.
You're doing it.
That's outrageous. And they had a tough non-con because guess who they had to play? They had to play K-State. What a legitimate opponent that was. So they have a chance. But if you lose this game, you're still going to have a good season. Everything's fine. Missouri's making an advancement. Eli Drinkwitz isn't being talked about being on the hot seat. There's a lot of things good about this season, no matter what. Missouri should win 8 or 9 games, but 10 is in play, and no doubt is left if you win this game. And you should. You're the favorite. There's some pressure on Mizzou. They got to beat South Carolina.
Yeah, they're good. They got players. Yeah, I mean, it just matters to have players, no doubt about it. Kansas State, my complaint earlier this year, and we talked about it, I was like, they got to get a playmaker on the field. They just got to have it. Will Howard, when he had a playmaking wide receiver and a playmaking running back, was a tremendous quarterback last year, and they won the Big 12. And he looked like an absolute deadlock NFL-type player. This year, confidence shot. Guys aren't quite as open. Doesn't have the playmaker. There's a kid over there on the sidelines that's probably the best playmaker on the team, and now he's getting on the field in Avery Johnson. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do here going forward. My guess is Chris Klein is not going to tip his hand. They're going to play both these guys. Tell me about their games. Let's just talk about these two quarterbacks. And do you think that it will likely be like two quarterbacks the rest of the way? They'll both play some? Or is there a possibility somewhere down the road Avery Johnson takes this thing over?
Well, I think that the most likely situation is that both quarterbacks will play and play a good deal. Now, how do you sort that out? It's so hard. There's no perfect formula for doing it. One of the themes that we're seeing around the country, Kevin, in college football is how often backup quarterbacks are playing in these games. So just the injury factor sometimes sorts these things out. You know, last year, Adrian Martinez came in as K-State's quarterback, and they did everything they could to implement him into the K-State program and try to get the losing stink that he had about fourth quarter problems at Nebraska out of there and say, no, revamp your mind. You're a K-State player now. Let's go. what was happening inside the football facility, Kevin, that the players knew about and the fans definitely had no clue on is Will Howard probably was as good as Adrian Martinez the whole time. But how did they sort it out? Well, injury took care of it. Adrian Martinez became unavailable. Will Howard had to play, and he sparked. So you don't root for injury, but that is probably a factor that could play this out, like who plays in which game, and those kind of things could be because of little dings here and there. But if they're both completely healthy, it is a good problem to have, but it is a hard thing to maneuver through. A lot of choices to be made. Will Howard is looked at the leader of this football program. Internally, he's the leader. I think you think about Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. We're learning everything about their lives now with their podcasts and everything else. But the one thing that I take away from those two is Jason Kelce was the older brother. And he is someone that Travis Kelce, I believe, looked up to his whole life and still looks up to. And it hasn't changed. Even though Travis Kelce's more of the superstar, plays the higher level position and all those things, he's the guy hosting Saturday Night Live. Travis Kelce's our guy is the number one, and Jason Kelce's his brother. But in their world, Kevin, it's not the way it is.
Yeah,
Jason's the older brother. Will Howard's the older brother at K-State, even for Avery Johnson. So I think they got to be very careful how they handle the situation. If Avery Johnson sparks and plays to his highest level, if he's that mature and as a true freshman can take it to his highest level consistently, down after down, and physically. Physically, Kevin, getting hit
right.
and getting back up is a hard thing.
Yeah,
but if Avery Johnson plays his best, he's the best.
He may not be an everyday player.
Than Will Howard.
Yeah, I'm with you. He may not be an everyday.
And the K-State fans that say that, you know, I hear people say that, you know, the coaches are holding him back or something. They like Will or something. No. They love Avery. They love Avery.
Here's the crazy thing.
They think he's going to be a superstar.
I've said my whole career, if you have two running backs or two quarterbacks or two whatever, you don't have one. This is the first time that rule is broken. I mean, Will Howard can play. There's no doubt about it. Now, he may be looking over his shoulder. He may be a little intimidating. He may be sitting there in practice going, wow, I can't do the stuff he does. It may be the first time Will Howard's looked around and gone, uh-oh. And so there may be some of that involved here. But I don't think it's time for Avery Johnson to just take this thing over. He can't possibly know the offense inside and out. It's not possible at this point as a true freshman. It just isn't. I don't know why, and I think we'll see it. It's just a matter of time because they did this when Adrian Martinez came back last year. Why can't we see both quarterbacks on the field? What's wrong with Will Howard at quarterback and Avery Johnson behind him? I'd take a look at a toss sweep and see what that looks like. If he wants to run it, run it. If he wants to throw it 40 yards downfield, let him throw it. I could look at all kinds of things, those little Tyreek Hill flip pass things we've done here for years. I'd watch Avery Johnson do that all day. I don't know why they can't both play.
Well, Kevin, I don't want to disclose too much information about the K-State Wildcats, but have you been watching practice, Kevin, you dirty dog?
I have not.
No, they definitely practice plays with both of them on the field. There's no doubt about that. Will they implement it? You know, one of the things I laugh about coaching is you see that big sheet that Andy Reid has in front of him? You know how many plays are on that thing? They don't get a call even every play that they have on the sheet. And they cut the sheet down from what they practice during the week, Kevin. So they'll run a trick play for five straight weeks before they lay it out there. So the thing that I think about that is we may never see them on the field at the same time, but that doesn't mean they don't practice it. They got everything in the arsenal. How they sort this out, both quarterbacks are going to play. I think they're going to play in every game. I think they're going to maximize the amount of time that Avery Johnson plays. And that may mean, when I say maximize, that doesn't mean every down necessarily as a starter all the way through the end. That could happen. He could earn his way to that. They may feel comfortable with that. But I generally think that he's going to have series. Think about Chase Daniel. When he was here with Brad Smith was killing it, Kevin. Brad Smith was so good. Third series of every game, Chase Daniel went out there and quarterbacked the Missouri Tigers. Remember that?
I do, yeah.
So I think K-State will adopt something like that. In fact, what did they do in the last game? Avery Johnson came out in the third series of the game. They said they had a plan. It looks like the plan was third series of the game, no matter what the score is. Avery, this is your series. So I fully expect him to get series and maybe multiple series. And they may go with who the hot hand is. They may go with matchups.
That's what
one
it
of
was.
The things you have to remember.
It was great coaching.
Exactly.
Because they were giving up the run and they just
Texas
kept
Tech.
Him.
Adrian Martinez ran over Texas Tech the year before. I mean, he killed Texas Tech in the running game. And you had Deuce Vaughn as well, right? But they have an advantage of running the ball against Texas Tech. And so when the best series of the game was when K-State was ahead 10-7 right before the half. early play, backed up a nice pass to Ben Sinnott, the most reliable receiver. He catches the ball on a perfectly thrown ball, well-executed play by Will Howard, and it's a pass and run of 42 yards, Kevin. 42 yards. K-State hasn't had many big plays, so that is one of their biggest pass plays of the year, perfectly executed. But later in the possession, just a few plays later, here comes Avery Johnson off the sideline. That would be the perfect way to use them. Say, okay, now we're getting into plus territory. Texas Tech doesn't like to see quarterback run game. Avery can still pass. They're not going to only run him. He can throw, but they put him in. He takes it in for a touchdown. What does everyone remember, Kevin? They remember that's one of Avery's K-State record tying five rushing touchdowns. His speed was incredible and all that. But that drive included both of them. So I think anything and everything's on the table. Avery Johnson is going to be a superstar, but that doesn't mean that Will Howard doesn't have a leadership capability to go out there and do a lot of good things for him. So as crazy as it seems, you can use two quarterbacks only if they get along well. Yeah, and they do. They are like best friends.
It reminds me a little bit of Luther Burden. A little bit like Luther Burden last year. It's like you can see it. It's all right there. You can see he's going to be great, the athleticism. Missouri was throwing him short passes, running him at the line of scrimmage, getting the ball in his hand, getting him adjusted to the game. And I feel like they're bringing Avery along the same way, and it's going to be fascinating to watch because he clearly is the best athlete on the team. I mean, he's the playmaker they need on the field. The Cats play 6 o'clock Saturday night in Manhattan.
Let me remind you this, Kevin. Let me remind you this. Adrian Martinez had 171 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns, 69 and 57-yard runs, and only 12 carries against Texas Tech last year. So what they don't want to see is Avery Johnson running the football. That may not be true of TCU or the next team. I think they're going to strategize against the opponents. They're going to make them get ready for two types of quarterbacks.
For sure.
And here's the last thing for Avery, because, again, he grew up – he lives just a couple of miles from where my parents live right now. I mean, this is a hometown, Kansas. There's no reason for me not to love Avery Johnson and everything he stands for and be excited about him, and so are the coaches. But I will put this out there just as a kind of a generic statement. When you play quarterback and you're the starter, let's just assume we advance a year or two from now and there's no doubt Avery, whatever, or tomorrow. When Avery Johnson's out there, when you play the whole game, Kevin, and take the hits these guys do, you watch that show, The Quarterback, that's how those guys get hit. The big thing is the physicality. Like, what happens when your arm is numb or your leg has a thigh bruise that no one cares about? It's not on the injury report. You are just sore as hell. That's what Avery – I'm not saying he can't do it.
He doesn't know yet. He doesn't know yet, Stan, because he hasn't been tackled.
I know.
He just runs it into the end zone. It's like Darren Sproles is an 8-year-old. When Darren Sproles was 8, he played in Missouri. They made him move to Kansas. They kicked him out of the league. He had 13 touches in 3 weeks in 8-year-old football, and he scored a touchdown on every touch. And they said, you got to leave this league. You got to go. Avery Johnson hasn't been tackled yet.
I wish I could be that fast for like 2 plays, man. I interviewed him after the game. I interviewed him after the game and on our post game on the network, and I said, okay, you're running down the field, and there's that green turf, but there's that other colored turf in the end zone, whatever color they make it. That is hard to get to. You know, what did it feel like to just be burning down the field and go into that end zone?
He's never known anything else.
You know, you haven't played very much, but, man, 5 touchdowns, that's crazy. Ripping past the Texas Tech defenders.
Crazy.
It's so much fun. He is so humble. Crazy. He is trying to learn from Colin Klein. This is a great, great, great piece of coaching, of parenting, whatever.
Yeah.
Avery Johnson plus K-State coaching has been amazing to keep this. And Will Howard deserves a ton of credit.
I agree.
He taught Adrian Martinez. He's teaching Avery Johnson.
I got you. Okay, let's finish with this. We got to get wrapped up. You're a busy guy, buddy. Come on. Let's get serious here.
Come on, man. We can talk football all day.
Jalen Daniels at Kansas. There's just rumors flying everywhere about what's going on. None of it sounds believable. Lance Leipold is kind of weird. He's not saying much about it. He's saying, well, no change. We don't think he's out for the year. They at Texas, supposedly, he hurt his back at the team hotel 4 hours before the game and didn't play after, quote, unquote, practicing all week or something. None of this sounds right. I have no idea what's going on with Jalen Daniels. None of it does not pass the smell test. What's going on, and what kind of problem does Kansas have with this team buying into Jason Bean if they don't know what's going on with Jalen Daniels?
Well, there's two big questions that you have there. The first one sorts out like what's really going on, and it doesn't make enough sense for me to be able to say. I'll just say that there's a wide spectrum of possibilities. Back injuries are the craziest thing in the world, and you can feel fine for a few hours and all of a sudden you can't walk. So I'm old enough to know people now that have back issues, and it's not like some doctor, you know, I understand if you have a dislocated finger. I understand if you have a hyperextended elbow. I understand if you blow out your knee, Kevin, what the procedures are, how you ice and everything else. On the back, and you're a football player, and you're a quarterback, who knows? So it could be just as simple of this young man unfortunately has a back injury, and you don't know what you're going to get every day. So that's one possibility, and anything else could be true, because when you think about how Lance Leipold has responded to this, he seems very focused, like, don't ask me about that. Doesn't give you a lot of information and those kind of things. So anything you want to talk about, from conspiracy theory all the way to that this kid's just babbling like crazy trying to get his back in order, all of them are in play, and I would not put probabilities anywhere on the spectrum, Kevin. I'm not on it like, oh, definitely he's just got a back injury, and I'm not anywhere else along the line. So you're asking the wrong guy. Now, the second part of it's a little more easy. When you're around a football team that's run like Lance Leipold has run it, and here's our evidence about what I'm going to say. Why doesn't everybody know? Why hasn't it leaked out what's really going on or what the back injury is or anything else? It's not. For some reason, the players aren't telling their girlfriends and they're not telling their dads, and then it's going out to social media. It is locked down like it's 1970 around there. For some reason, nobody's talking about what's going on. You're not seeing the media find things out. They're working hard to figure it out. No one's telling us what the whole story is for Jalen Daniels. That is proof of a guy who has control of his program and has taught his players, don't worry about what I worry about. Worry about what your job is in this team. So I think it's very easy for them, by the evidence of what they're showing to the public, the solidarity of not allowing any information out, not trying to be speculative, means that this group of players is very focused on believing in Jason Bean and where they are. They're an exciting time, Kevin. It's a great time to be a football player when your team steps it on up. Last year was year one. It was like a developmental year. And then the next year, when you know you're good, I saw it. When Bill Snyder came in 89, he turned that team around from a team that could never win a game to win one game in 89. The difference between 89 and 88, Bill Snyder's tenure, was the greatest turnaround from one year to the next ever, but no one talks about it because you went from zero to one win. I say you went from like minus seven to one win, Kevin. Like an eight game. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
K-State made like an eight game, but no one, the players weren't having fun. They were just like, okay. Then the next year, K-State was 5-6. They used to play 11 games in the old days. They were 5-6, and they were a little bit dangerous. Well, that was KU last year. You know, no one expected them to go out and win, but they were having fun. They believed in themselves a little bit more. But I mean, year three of Bill Snyder, year three of Coach Leipold at Kansas, now they know they're good. And now they know they're better than the fans even know they are. And they have a belief in the system, and there is a continuity. When K-State popped out in 1991, Kevin, Paul Watson, the quarterback, that team was so hard to beat. You could not distract them at all. They were 7-4 on the year, and the only teams they lost to were ranked in the top 12 in the country. Washington won a national championship. Colorado was awesome, and Nebraska and Oklahoma were off the charts. That's the only teams they lost to. They went 7-4. They were so rock solid and having fun, no one was going to pull them down. That's what Kansas is right now. They know they're good. They're fully developed. They're 3 years into it. They won enough games last year that this isn't new to them, but they will listen to every word the coach says. They're going to believe in every player on the team. So I think Kansas mentally has no issues with Jalen Daniels. He is not a distraction to them at all. That's not normally the case for most teams, but where they are in their development, they're just going to go out and play. Big loss to Oklahoma State. They got a week off. They could start sliding a little bit if they lose to Oklahoma. They'll be dangerous to Oklahoma, but if OU wins as the favorite, Kevin, they will now have lost three games in a row, didn't play for 1 week. You know, if you go 4 weeks without winning a game in college football, it seems like 17 years.
It does.
So they are going to have to fight hard to mentally get their mind straight, because I think they go Oklahoma at home and then at Iowa State. And the Cyclones have gotten better. Didn't I tell you, Kevin, when Oklahoma State and Iowa State play?
Way better.
That they are the teams that they used to be.
Yeah.
They are the real deal. I told you that when Oklahoma State and Iowa State play it, I go, uh-oh, don't write those two teams off. They're playing like they should. And I think that's been proven out since we saw them play that week.
It's going to be wild. Going to be wild as we go forward. Stan, thank you for your time. As always, we greatly appreciate you. I know that you're very busy as the president of Tower Properties. Somehow you find a time to talk with us every week, and I greatly appreciate that. Thank you, sir. We'll chat with you, I think, on Monday.
You're the busy guy.
Now, you're my eyes and ears this weekend because I'm out of town at this wedding. I don't know what football I'm going to just be asking you questions on Monday morning, if that's okay. Is that all right with you?
That's fine. However you want to do it, Kevin. I hope the listeners enjoy our podcast. If
they
you
do.
Change it up, just text Kevin or email him or whatever you do.
It's good.
We'll try to make the adjustments. But it is so much fun. I'm so excited for Spencer. I remember seeing him as a little boy growing up, being so shy that he couldn't even talk to girls, had no interest. Jessica's like, what the heck's wrong with you, dude? There's a nice girl over there that you can at least talk to her. She's in your house. You know, offer some iced tea or something. And now he's getting married. I've done podcasts with him. So congratulations to you and Spencer and everybody. Have a great time. I'll be thinking about you. Enjoy it. And then we'll catch you up next week. You'll be like a podcast listener next week when you listen to the show.
I'm just going to be Monday morning. I got Stan all lined up. I'm just going to ask you questions about all the games. I don't know what I'm going to see and not see this weekend. So it's all you, buddy. I appreciate you doing the heavy lifting.
Okay, Kevin. Thanks so much. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. There's Stan Weber. Unbelievable. There you go. You're set for this weekend, man. All the great games coming up. He goes through all of them. And the Chiefs and Chargers, obviously, at the very top of that list. We're looking forward to that one. Stan's appearance today brought to you by Amini's Galleria. Online at Amini's.com. This is Amini's, 105th and Metcalf, for all your outdoor furniture needs. Rugs, game room, pinball, golden tee, pool table, shuffleboard. They got it all at Amini's, including now saunas. Not hot tubs, not spas. A sauna. You've got three different levels of sauna you can put in your home. If you'd like to get the great health benefits of sauna, visit Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Earth Effects Outdoor, online at eeoutdoor.com for all your landscaping needs, or hardscapes like kitchens, fire pits, any kind of hardscapes outside, retaining walls, drainage, ponds, water features, eeoutdoor.com at 816-478-7700. And our friends at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan would love to host you this fall to play a little golf at Colbert Hills. Monday through Thursday, bring your coworkers, take the day. We got beautiful weather in the 70s here the next couple of weeks. Gorgeous. Stay the night in Manhattan. $110 to play Colbert Hills and stay at the hotel. It's a staycation. This is fun. Call Zoe at the Bluemont Hotel, 785-473-7091, or log on to BluemontHotel.com. There it is, little KKHI with Stan Weber. Coming up on Thursday, we're going to talk all politics and what we need to do as GOP voters in these off-year elections, how we can make a difference in our local communities. And then on Friday, Spencer's going to join us on his wedding day to talk about it all right here at Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.